Rule 101. Always listen to your own buying guidance. Before you go into the comments and say, oh no, not another one of those I got it wrong YouTuber videos, this isn't quite that, although it is, but it's also not a kind of, you know, I've made a massive mistake video, because I haven't. I just screwed up slightly when it came to configuring it. And again, that's just another lesson for me. And more importantly, it's something I can relay to you guys, because if you're still thinking about buying an M4 Mac Mini, trust me, you can get it wrong, and my lessons will help you in that regard. Also, if you just want to see another updated review of the M4 Mac Mini, that's kind of what this is. I will touch on why this is so fantastic and what I got right about it a few months ago. What else am I going to do in this video? There's other things. Oh yeah, I think this whole scenario with this computer and the M series chips in general says quite a lot about what's going on with Apple, and I think potentially is causing them a bit of an issue. But it might not be an issue, actually. It might be the best thing ever. Who knows? Lots of stuff to discuss. Let's get into it. Let's start with the two things that I think I've got right about the M4 Mac Mini. The first one is the fact that it's the best thing that Apple has ever made. When I first claimed that 2 months ago, I thought, oh no, people are going to come at me with things like the iPod, the iPhone, the original Mac, and say, no, those things are much more important and much more revolutionary and, you know, life-changing than this thing, which, you've got a point, I completely understand, but in my little world in here, in my experience, this is the best Apple product I've ever bought, hands down. And the reason for that is because, one, look at it, the size of it and the power inside is just ridiculous. I come from a world where I had to spend a lot of money to do music production in the past. I pulled my hair out, literally, as you can see, when it came to video editing just 4 or 5 years ago, because, you know, even if you spent quite a bit of money on an Intel MacBook Pro back then, it was noisy and loud and slow and all the rest of it. I've come from that era, as a lot of people have, I know. And if you've come from that era, this is just revolutionary. It really is, because of the size of it. And the other thing is the price. It's just such a low cost of entry into macOS. And macOS, as we all know, is the best operating system. The second thing I got right is advising people to buy the base model, because I think most people who buy a Mac Mini, in fact, most people who are buying one today, just need that base model. You know, increase the unified memory if you need to, get a little bit more internal storage, but remember, you can add external storage almost indefinitely to this thing. But stick with that base model M4 chip, because it's much cheaper than the M4 Pro one. Because trust me, once you get into M4 Pro territory, two things will happen. You'll add more and more stuff to it. So you'll add more and more unified memory. You'll add more and more storage. And before you know it, you've bought yourself one of these. Please don't do that. This brings me on to the mistake I've made. But before we get into that, just a very quick word from today's sponsor, which is Minisupuru. If you're using an M4 Mac Mini, you probably love that power, but you've probably also hit that I need more ports moment, right? That's where the Minisupuru Mini 4 Pro dock comes in. It's not just a dock, it's a stand, hub, and an SSD enclosure all in one. You get extra USB ports, an SD card slot for quick transfers, and even support for an M2 NVMe SSD. So if you need extra storage, which you probably will, you're covered. And if you're using multiple monitors, the 4K HDMI port makes it super easy to expand your workspace. And if you're worried about Wi-Fi interference, you don't need to be. This is a hub that is designed to avoid that. And that means your connection stays strong. This Mini 4 Pro dock is sleek, compact, and it blends perfectly with the Mac Mini. And yes, it even makes that power button more accessible. If you want to unlock the full potential of your setup and your M4 Mac Mini, check this out. The link is in the description. The big thing that I got wrong about the M4 Mac Mini was my ordering process. So my brain was stuck in the past, basically. I thought, okay, I need as many CPU and GPU cores as possible, because I might still do some video editing in the future. I want to get back into music production, so let's just get the most possible. So I got the M4 Pro and spec'd it up as far as possible. I then thought, right, unified memory. I don't want to run out of that, particularly if I'm doing, you know, music production, working with samples and all that sort of stuff. Let's just get 64 gig. So I added 64 gig to the cart as well. I then thought, okay, I don't want to mess around with having, you know, SSDs stuck out the back of it, you know, hanging out the back and worrying about them failing and all that sort of stuff. So let's just get 2 terabytes of storage as well. So I added that. In fact, then I pressed buy, and then I realized that Patrick Rambles had done the exact same thing, but he'd also added the 10 gigabit Ethernet, and I can't have a lesser Mac Mini than Patrick. So I cancelled the order, reordered it with the 10 gigabit Ethernet, and the total came to £2,899. A couple of months later, I realised that I don't need any of that, really. I genuinely don't. I could have got away with the base model M4, 24 gig of unified memory, max. I probably don't even need that. And 512 gig of storage, which would have cost me a pound under a grand. 999 quid. Ugh. And you know what? I wouldn't notice any difference. I'm slowly getting back into music production and it would work fine on that lesser spec that I've just mentioned. Equally, we've got another project that we're spinning up, which will involve me doing some more video editing again, which I'm looking forward to. But again, that base model chip would be absolutely fine with it. So I've spent near enough £3,000 basically on something I didn't need. So I didn't listen to my own advice basically. And I think all of this potentially is presenting a bit of an issue for Apple. I've often said that if you know that you need a certain amount of unified memory or a certain number of GPU cores, you know that's the case. You don't need me to tell you that. This was very neatly summed up by Mark Williamson 9199 in a comment that he left against one of my videos recently. I am paraphrasing this slightly because I need to. He said, "Yes, I can think of a use case for a Mac Studio Ultra. In 2007 to 2010, I was working on modeling of trajectories of lifting bodies with 6 DOF models. We had 48 HP blade servers and simulating 400,000 different scenarios took 45 days of execution. Being able to do that in less than one day on a few Mac Studio Ultras would have been heaven." No idea what he's talking about. I don't know what a DOF is. I don't know what a model of a trajectory is. I have no idea. But clearly, he knows he needs several of these. However, that is such a small market, and when we come to the M4 Mac Mini, anyone who needs more than the base model M4 delivers is an even smaller market. I'm convinced of that. So because of that, if you're thinking about buying an M4 Mac Mini, you've ended up on this video. You've probably watched other videos of people reviewing it and giving buying guidance. And we're pretty much all saying the same thing, which is just get the base model. Because then you'll look at these stress test videos. I've done a couple myself, and you'll watch people running, you know, 100 track Logic Pro arrangements alongside a 1,000 export raw file thing from Lightroom and a Blender project at the same time and a 4 camera 4K multicam thing going on in Final Cut Pro all together. And you'll think, I'm never going to do that, and that's true because no one ever does that sort of stuff. And you'll just come back to the point of buying the cheapest Mac Mini you can find, because you don't need all that power, which means Apple loses out on upsells, you know, people buying the M4 Pro, buying more memory, etc., which must be an issue, surely. Is Tim Cook looking at his spreadsheets now and thinking, why is everyone buying the cheapest version? Because the other problem is that you'll buy one of these and then you'll keep it for years because it never goes wrong, and because there's so much performance headroom, even in that base model, you won't need another Mac for ages, which means, again, Apple then loses out on an upgrade. You know, they lose out on you changing your Mac in 3 years' time because it's just, there's nothing wrong with it. Basically, is Apple Silicon too good? Counter argument to this is the fact that apparently they're gaining market share. So in the first quarter of this year, there were 5.5 million Macs shipped, which is an increase from the 4.8 million shipped during the first quarter of last year. So clearly they are gaining. I mean, again, it's still quite a small percentage of the overall computer market, PC market, whatever you want to call it, but it's growing. And okay, we don't know what, you know, within that 5.5 million, who knows how many of those were one of these, but I think it would be quite a lot. And I think it'd be a lot of base model versions, a lot of base model MacBook Airs as well. I think that's the case. So maybe it's not a problem. Maybe Tim's looking at those spreadsheets and thinking, happy days. But I do wonder if Apple Silicon, ironically, is too powerful. You know, how many people are working with DOFs and stuff? I just don't think it's that many people. How many people need this much power? How many people need the Mac Pro? Do you remember the Mac Pro? It's still there. You can buy one. It's got an Apple Silicon chip in it, but they haven't, at the time of filming, they haven't updated it yet. Is that going? Will we be saying goodbye to Macs like that and Macs like this, the Mac Studio? I don't know, but I'd love to know from you. This is where, as always, guys, I turn it over to you. Let me know in the comments what you think about the entire Mac debate at the moment. It's a wonderful problem to have, but it's fascinating. Also, guys, if you've got this far and you've enjoyed this video, give it a thumbs up, please. It makes a massive difference. And if you haven't hit subscribe yet, you know where that button is. Equally, if you're watching this on TV, which a lot of people are doing now these days, it's not easy to find where that subscribe button is. So in that case, pick up your phone, whatever it happens to be. If you've got an iPhone 16e, I'm still using it, by the way, go into YouTube, find this channel, hit subscribe, and I'll love you forever. Anyway, guys, thank you for watching. Let me know what you think in the comments, and I'll catch you in the next one. Cheers.